by his senses that is telling God to listen. It is God residing in the heart telling your five senses to listen. And it's God who is making a promise from within the heart of life that it will not forsake you or forget you. So that is the important relationship always going on between consciousness and God. We, in our five senses, can be so distracted and forget and even forsake the creative principle embodied in our hearts. That the creative principle embodying us cannot forget or forsake us. We can go all over in our consciousness. But the bottom line is that deep inside yourself, no matter what you do with your five senses, and how you may revile or want to punish yourself to your five senses, your creative principle embodied in you, don't punish or change you. It gives you more love. Realize there's true self all the time. That's why it doesn't forget you or forsake you. And though the tribulations and the confrontations, the aggravations may seem to pile up, they're only the roads in our lives. The logical mind may get threatened with it. Imagination may go at times maybe off, but they feel it. But deep down, that heart, love, is telling you it doesn't focus on the perceiving. That's the current between the perfect life and the soul. That's why all the teachers or individuals who realize themselves acting in a manner of total compassion all the time. Why is he turning cheek going from the other? Seeking of God to yourself and to free you. In the end, you do come to grips with this reality that you are intrinsically and essentially creative life. Doctor in a cell. A form. Playing different roles through the five senses. And the unfinished sensory behavior is what we call the continued karma debt. There are no sins. Those are the old pre-agricultural talking to yourself. As you unfold in consciousness and understanding love, you realize that all is created love. There's even a song in today's environment, love is like a rose. That he knows out from under the snow when the spring comes and kisses him. It's that we're all trying to find at the grassroots of our nature. The difference between spirituality and religious behavior. Religious behavior can tend to be fanatical, overly ritualistic, and at times very impractical. spirituality is the moment-to-moment practical application of love for your fellow man and yourself. There is no superiority in spirituality. It's all before or the unified field. Spirituality is that unified field. The relative individuality of our five senses is constantly must play the role of desire. Nothing is wrong with desire. It's only the things you attach yourself to that you desire and feel they cannot be replaced once they are broken or lost, or you can't do it again. Then the anguish begins. The greater intelligence generates desire all the time. But the anguish, the attachment, creates the frustration, sometimes the misery, the fears, the doubts. Yet, if you're capable of letting go of the brain, synchronizing with the heart, eventually you live to see the reality of the experience with the heart triumphs over the being. But during the period of waiting to see it happen, can be very frustrating. And you may wish that you never went through it. You may say to yourself, God doesn't exist. But that's your privilege to make those statements in your five senses. Because it's a discovery of yourself. And no one can tell you how to discover yourself. They may show you how to drive a car, but until you get behind the wheel and take the responsibility of being certified to drive that car, you are not responsible. Many of us go through life on passing the wheel, never getting behind the wheel. Many of us know to drive, but never own a car. But when you know to drive and own the car, take the full responsibility, so you are committed to the joy in this stage of realization. That's why the teacher can't be about student, the student can't be about teacher. Only one discovers his internal love in the bond between the creative intelligence and the soul. The five senses can often wander away from the source of your love by the attachment. But the source of love that feeds the desire, feeds the five senses, cannot forsake you or forget you. It has to be there. And when everything is said and done, and even when we take our birthday into the invisible, some people like to call that transition or other fancy names. I rather call it birthday to the invisible. The ongoing love is still there. You come to grips and you come to face your actual core of your love. But it never left you. It always was you. And continues to be you. And that's why I remember that Paul would say, I rebuke you in your rejoicing, though I live and die daily in the Lord. Meaning, he's referring to the pursuit of the five senses, and thinking that's where the love is, and can be distracted from the core of the love, and get lost in it, and never realize the expander, that he was able to disengage from the five senses and experience the inward origin, the inward bond of love between the five senses and the light principle. That's why he said live and die, meaning he was able to engage to the five senses and disengage from the five senses and see the continuity of this love that doesn't forsake or forget, but it doesn't condemn or punish. We do that to ourselves and our sensory program. So when we sing the chant, it's more than a chant. It is a eternal promise of creative life to the soul. Every time we take on the form or manifestation or individuality, we can lose this memory or identification within the sensory nature. But if we reflect upon how we put together structurally the promise or the bond is enhanced more and more. That is why, that if you're familiar with Yogananda, when he had the experience of inward consciousness, he asked his teacher one, he says, when am I fighting God? So his teacher says, I hope you're not looking for somebody sitting in a throne in some antiseptic corner of the universe. You see, because most of us will build up that type of relationship. I remember one time, I was told that when you go to heaven, you have to pass through the pearly gates. Pass through the pearly gates only to find on the other side of the pearly gates a vast panorama of empty oyster shells. And then I was told that the way to hell is through the fiery gates. And when I went through the fiery gates of hell, I saw on the other side green pasture lands of chopped down wood to be burnt. So all the illusions of these words flew out of the consciousness and brought me back to the reality of love. But it was my own self-images I was feeling, and not the true principle of the mind. So when Yogananda asked his teacher when he find God, he says he hope he doesn't look for somebody in the throat. But he said, if you feel the joy or the love embodied every moment you sit up to meditate, its ever newness is your contact with the reality of it. It is your own kinesis, your own fountainhead, your own eternal spring that feeds individuality and falls back down into a unified process. It's like a drop of water falling into the ocean. When it enters the ocean, it loses its shape. It becomes a whole ocean. Then it cries out to be a drop. Even though it's wet like the ocean, and its wetness wouldn't differ from the ocean, it still wants its shape or the drop. And the wind may satisfy the little drop to keep its shape by cooling down the ocean and turning it into ice. And then the wind again may get so hot because the ocean will evaporate and form vapor. And then the clouds will get so heavy that they'll collapse. And down come the drops. Yet, intrinsically, drop of water, frozen water as ice, fog, rain, the intrinsic nature is still H2O. Hydrogen and oxygen. That's really the baseline of the love, of why we sing this song from within ourselves. Listen, listen to my concern. It's creativity that it's telling its creation to listen. We can't see creative intelligence. We have to hear it, and it takes shape as ideas of geometry. We call it inventiveness, the capacity to cope with difficulty in a practical manner. And the obvious becomes so obvious at the most critical moment. This we call the willpower, the time in our daily lives. It stands out. Then that reality of spirituality begins to guide you moment to moment with inspiration and creative ideas. You begin to feel a sense of practicalness getting over, a sense of strength permeating and fortifying. We call it the peace that passes all understanding, which man Jesus said, the peace I give, the world will give. The world gives you 6 feet under the ground, a nice plaque over your head, and there you rest in peace. But creative consciousness in a living mechanism give you a strength of peace by reawakening the bond between the creative life and the five senses. And to tap it is to listen. That's why we say listen, listen to the heart song. Listen to the internal rhythms. We call it Shakti or internal rhythm, or we may call it biofeedback. Whatever name we want to call creative life, we have to listen to it. Because it's the audible life stream, locked up in the cells. Modern science calls it white noise. Yet it takes on various geometrical patterns and intensifies the yearning or the magnetic effects of our mechanism to gravitate to it. That is part of love. That intense between the form and the flow. So, just listen, listen to the heart song. And creative intelligence will not forget or forsake you. That is the sensory consciousness talking to itself as a sense of beingness or love. And Yukteswar reappeared to Yogananda. Yogananda asked him of the other realms of life. And Yukteswar said that the one thing that our consciousness never loses, even though we merge in the ocean of unity of all life, we never lose this sense of individuality. And in the atomic physics, we see that even at the subatomic particle level, even though we're all moving in that unified state, your sense of individual particles existing. Your sense of I never leaves you, even when you go out of the frame at the last breath, even when you seem to fall asleep and dream, the sense of I never seems to leave you. And even when you have an out-of-body experience, that is the sense of I traveling out to the carbon dioxide when you respirate or expire the breath, that sense of I still doesn't go away. That is what Paul is saying, I live and die daily below. The I, that sense of individuality, is deeply ingrained in the life principle. It keeps reminding you of the bond between the creative intelligence and your five senses. But it does not forget or forsake, even though the frame or the form is subject to different types of confrontations. Those confrontations are the essential hurdles in the racetrack that the horse has jumped over in order to prove itself that it can jump. So one great saint said, greater the obstacle, greater the man. No obstacle, but we can. And necessity is another adventure we find with all the pressures that forces us to move in the direction of want and need. We don't seem to generate creativeness. When we look around ourselves, from history to today, from the agriculture to the mechanical, into space, we see this pattern very powerfully dominating our lives. But the attachment over the years tend to diminish the spirituality and try to enhance the church of mystic qualities. There's where we fool ourselves. Nothing is wrong with the church itself as the means of gathering. But then we become fanatical in the ritualistic behavior of it. Then we destroy the spirit of ourselves. We need to know what the description part of us all the time. Words in the language of all mankind that enhances love. And it's only between our forms can this enhancement be felt. That's why I have and you are here. And between the you and the I, we join hands in an invisible way and refer to ourselves as me. That me part of you goes with me wherever I go. So I take you with me. The second reason I am happy to be here is for the many years have been good and wonderful mind with you. I've always promised to be coming fearlessly here to see them, but they've always promised to come and see me. So it works out that I'm coming to see them more often.
Maybe we can change that.
The many friends that have come through with you, it's been wonderful. Also the third part is that I'll be coming back here through this summer season for a workshop. I think we'll see maybe wonderful things listening.
That the heart in the yogic philosophy is not always the same thing as the pump that we have. That it's a spiritual heart.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
It's both the spiritual pump and the focal point for the internal energies. In yoga, it's been a union. When Jesus said, the pure in heart will see God, most of us take off into psychological references to the biological organ and often get carried away with the awareness action of the experience, not realizing what is really going on in the dynamics of the structure at the atomic level. But if we unite both the psychological function with the biological function, then the real truth is revealed for the first time. Only within the human organ or heart is there an exchange between the artery and the vein. No other part of the anatomy, this exchange is occurring. And pure in heart means the body has to be in a toxic free state. So the minimal input of toxic food will toxify the bloodstream, forcing the pump to overwork. Would make the body sick. So if you put a high quantity, it is going to be sick. A minimal quantity, you have an opportunity to experience subtle qualities of your own organism. So the cellular purification, and the heart is designed to purify. That's why the desire has to pump at the same time and transfer. When the exchange occurs between the artery and the vein, it triggers an electric spark at the pituitary area, causing the retina to shift its focus from concave to convex, thereby providing you the opportunity to see through mass instead of only seeing at a mass. Now, seeing true is seeing God. The atomic principle as it is manifested in form. Seeing at is the petrified or catalyzed state for which we think we are inhibited and can't get through to. So when the eyes look at this object, they only see at the surface of it. And the unusual ability of seeing through it, they're often called weirdos, and extrasensory and so different types of names. And that's basically a part of the structure for the body in a non-toxic state to be able to see through the apparent relative mass right into its atomic structure. And so in the common strict X-ray vision of Superman, is not restricted only to Superman. It is a natural function locked up in all of us. That's why Jesus would say, when the eyes are single, the whole body is full of light. Now, this is a valid fact that can be experienced at the biological level. And from the initiation, those who have been initiated into the science of internal activation, you go right back, and that organ, the heart, is gradually transmuting and feeding this phenomenon. Eventually, the heart takes over the operation of the optic nerves to permit this phenomenon to occur, instead of the right and left hemisphere of the brain dominating it as sensory behavior. But you have to work with it till it takes over this experience and becomes permanent. You may start up with it. Sometimes most of us bump our heads and we see stars or other various ways we may relativistically experience. But the rational route is via the heart, set up already to do the cleansing. So nature has left us the actual mechanics in the environment for us to pursue and experience. When we go to these natural methods, we only find one requirement. That requirement is to clean the cells up. There's no other requirement. And it's not cleaning up in terms of being more holier than thou. It's because anytime you attempt to clean the body, you have to change your attitude. Otherwise, you wouldn't clean it either. So the two are correlated to each other right away. Anytime you're feeling sick about eating too much of something, you have to tell yourself you're going to quit doing it. So one without the other won't work. You have to do it again. So it's a biological cleansing with a psychological alignment that brings the heart into focus, causing this electrical spark to react on the pituitary. And then we have the experience of context vision, third eye vision, and it opens up. Then, from that point, when it opens up and we can see into the atomic structure, the sense of I, and this is the real I, which is referred to by Moses when he was looking at the burning bush. I am that I am. This pulls up in the head from this portion of the pituitary gland into the pineal gland. So you're shipped into the actual source of the atomic energy. They call it also petal locus, different other names. But intrinsically is that the electric spark in the mechanism. In the ancient days, they never use the word electric, so we always say something equivalent, which you don't have called electrical wires like fields. It'd be like something the same, but that was their way of trying to describe a biological reaction, an electromagnetic level. And this here suddenly gets extremely cool and bright. It is there where Jesus said, is saying, the light is shining in the darkness. Darkness being the five senses, externally related and not internally related. Externally looking at, that's the darkness. The light is shining, and as you keep looking in, and you feel it pulling, the whole body becomes full of light. And the light is shining, the darkness comprehends it now. But let the light so shine. Keep on looking. Don't interfere, don't analyze. Don't bring intellect into play. Listen and watch. Let the light so shine. Before men, that means yourself become permeated with the glow from inside, taking over the immune level of the cells, restoring their balance, permitting you to function more on time, which is divine will, in your environment. So you're always there at the right time for the right experience, and no experience is good or bad. It's just an opportunity to go through. From then on, you are synchronized. As Carl Jung would say, you have found the synchronicity of your nature. This enneagram moves you into your environment to be. Then it starts coming downwards. First you grow up into it, we call ascending into the heaven. And you sit at the right hand of the Father, you live all these things. Then it descends down into the core of its throne in the heart. That's where they say the sacred heart. It takes over. Until it descends down here, there is no biological transmutation of this body ever becoming non-corruptible or non-decaying. The non-decaying result of this body is the actual ascent and return to the heart. Any biological way. So it's not only psychological from the attitude we have to it. It's already knocked up biologically as a caterpillar who beats his way to butterfly. You see? So it is a biological transmutation that occurs within you that the yogi, which means a unified conscious person, senses now the acid descent to the heart. That's why it's called the sacred heart. And that was not evidence until Jesus returned from the grave and demonstrated the resurrection. That means what is sacred heart. It is not a psychological condition alone. It's more, it's dynamically organic. But when you say organic, we tend to limit it from the fact that we see things falling apart organically, never giving it the realization until we see objects that transform and transmute to the non-brain body. So when this body puts off corruption, the decomposition of frequencies, and takes on the non-decompositional or non-corrupted state, it is truly the glory or highest quality of the creative self. That glory unto God. You have to live this experience. Many of us come through and realize it, and in the process of transmuting and transforming and go on, only to leave it as evidence. We can't transform before we go through it. So that's one of the problems with it. The butterfly can't be a butterfly before the caterpillar decides to quit, be the caterpillar. And equally true, until I decide to quit using my five senses to function here, I can't have any evidence of a transmutation occurring. So this is the open road, organically set up, but the fears and frustrations are always going to be there because you're uninformed, and it's always a new experience of each body form. until we become familiar with its mechanics. That's why, to him that overcome it, I will not send for the second time. And this may be my second vision. So, the point is, I must overcome the fear and the frustration of the uniqueness of this form in this time lapse to experience what is locked up in it inherently by the created things. So, if we seek to repeat the process and things seem familiar in ourselves, it's because we have to go through it in order to get this level, so that when it's pointed out in an objective intellectual way, it's able to take over and transfer it from brain alcohol. We can then go on knowing it's not a churchianistic approach that is required to the transformation. It's a practical approach of moment-to-moment living that brings you to internal transformation. And we must focus upon the bottom line of the connectedness, and that in the heart we start off, we ascend, and we come back. That's where we terminate. So the yogis are telling us that the journey seems to go from here to here. It's not only psychological, it's also biological. But biological into the extent of the atomic level. That's the question. So, as a good friend of mine said, don't sell yourselves short.
Could you talk to us about thoughts? I always thought if I didn't accept someone else's beliefs or thoughts and sort of blocked them off, that they couldn't affect me. Well, I found that that's not true. So, how do we protect ourselves when we're not really aware that someone's even thinking about us?
When we don't understand how it's constructed, another person's thoughts will affect us in spite of ourselves. But once we understand how we put together, the other person's thought is their own thought a little. Let me explain that. When creative intelligence made the universe, it created the environment first, and all 144 elements were here. That's why they said, in the beginning was. Not in the beginning is. And if you understand language structure, it was as past is. Is its present tense. The word, therefore, all sonic labels of all forms of created energy in their different forms were here. And the word was God. This creative environment was its own creative potential. Now you and I into the picture again. The threads that make a cloth are in the picture, but the cloth isn't woven yet. So we aren't woven together yet to have any manifestation. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Now we are woven together to have manifestation. And dwells in man. Dwells in the manifestation. The creative intelligence of the atomic principles was here at a very high frequency or velocity. and in the process of slowing down, it appeared as evolution. When it didn't slow down and was invisible, it's in a state of involution. Now the argument is not between evolution and creation. The argument is between evolution and involution. And so therefore there's no such thing as this not being a creation. This is a creation comprising of involution and evolution. Involution is the invisible speed of what we see. Evolution is the visible speed of what we see. That's where the argument is going on. People will say, this universe is not evolution, this universe is creation. That's the erroneous. It is creation, but the argument is in the two-way speed of the creation, the visible speed and the invisible speed. The pre-agricultural language statement, taken in today's mechanical language statement, as you see it operating at a visible range, so it is already operating at a visible range and therefore can be validated or validated by instrumentation. We have come this far to have instruments to validate. In ancient times, man, only instrument he had to validate was his awakening of the invincible nature of the internal eye, creating what is known as the complex vision, the ability to see through the mass that limited him. He had to go inward to activate it. Well, you'll find that any time out of 1,000 people, you only find one person capable of doing it. So the other 999 is going to be kind of fearful and very adoring, calling God or something. And that could carry on for many, many centuries until some other person says, well, I don't believe what you see is true, and develops some kind of machinery and ends up saying, oh, you're right. Then everybody here, 999, look true. You see what he just said? It's true, you said. So science now comes along to prove what the one prophet or prophesied individual has said without the means of instruments. That part is there. All right. Now, when this creative intelligence made this manifestation and the environment, the last thing he made was a human being, right or wrong? If he made the human being first, before he made the environment, where would he put it? And if he made the human being last, after he made the environment, who is more important? Now you see where the term comes, first is last and last is first. Because when you make the first, you have to make quantity to cater to the last, which would have to provide quality. You can't make a million human beings right away if you don't have enough supply to feed them all right off the bat. See, logically it can't work. So you'd have to create a vast environmental field, self-perpetuated, to nurture one pair that must move on to generate equality. Alright. The thought, where does it come from? If you go back to the structure, you see, God made man, and this is what he says, come, let us make man. That means, after everything else is made now, the final decision is, come, let us make man. Then how are we going to make him? What is he going to look like? How is he going to function? This is a conversation between us, not a conversation between an I, or between a me. Us is plural. This us being plural is the evolutionary level and the involutionary level of the mass. The two different speeds of the mass within their own atomic structure. let us, creative intelligence as a thought process, sets up its own intrinsic polarity to crystallize into form in our own image and likeness. And what is the image? The image is the atomic structure. And the likeness is the perpetuation, continuity of the atomic structure. Therefore, the product must carry these two qualities automatically at the onset. It cannot say it doesn't possess it. It does possess it. Come, let us make man in our own image and likeness. All right. But then it goes to differentiate the polarity. Male and female created them. Now look around in this room and look at yourself structurally. You are not the result of two sperms, nor the result of two ovaries. Biologically, you're the result of a sperm and an ovary. And losers cannot be born. And the chances of being humanhood are millions to one. If ever you saw the TV program where they show that many sperms try to innovate with their ovum to be in the deep. So it's fantastic. But when you look at your form, what tremendous forces were pulling for your success. But then we sell ourselves short, or CELLS. That's the one we sell short. With a presupposed SELF. That's the one that can really sell you short in reality, the CELL. But if you begin to structurally look at it there, now, thought is going to appear from there. The willingness is inherent, but it can be turned off, it can be turned down. And in the turning down, after you've accomplished the fact of being a form, it may not be able to turn it up. It may forfeit the ability to turn it up. And it may talk itself into the ability not able to turn it up. And it will continue to feel depressed or impressed by other forms projecting their willingness. So once you realize that their willingness is your willingness, and the two willingness equal to the same point, then they don't have any effect on you. It is you who give that effect by not turning back up your willingness. So you keep enhancing the fear of the losingness and the frustration of the losingness, so that takes over and makes you feel weaker and weaker, and you can't seem to shut out the effect of another person's verbalization of their ideas. But if you recognize where your strength comes from, where the bond between your form and the creative intelligence is locked in, it's not possible anymore for another individual to invade or affect the reservoir of consciousness. And if you don't relate there, then everything else will take a trip or shift from to itself and affect it. You have to relate to the origin of your structure, how you put together, and then you break their effect. Now there are winners too, otherwise they wouldn't be in a human form. You have to respect their right to be a winner, but you have to respect your right as a winner too. But if you don't recognize the two winningness and the cause of the two willingness, then their strength will seem to penetrate yours, and you'll feel weak. Now, winners don't have fear because they don't win. Losers have fear, but losers can't be born. You can be turned down in your willingness, it's not turned off. It's the matter of recognizing it to turn it back up. It's like power volume of the radio. Now, male and female created them. And God, this creative principle, breathed breath of life into man. And man became living soul. Man doesn't have soul. If he did have soul, it would be pretty preposterous for a human body to save it. From what? What can human body save the soul from if it has soul? This manifestation, male and female, in polarity of a sperm ovum bonding process of the matrix from the environmental field, is soul. The soul integrity of the creative intelligence walking in the universe, a winner all the time, not taking advantage of no situation, but emphasizing the willingness of the accomplishment of the creative intelligence. This pattern frees you from any negative feedback of people generating what they have to say, because when they say something negative to you with their voice, and you think it's negative to you after you heard it, it is only because you don't know how to turn that resonance around to make it non-negative. And I'll give you an example, because anytime someone is born, he's forced to use language to communicate. Alright? You speak English? Good. I'm going to say to you now. Cintato pula tangawala kubu. You understand me? Good. That I don't affect you. Kamasawa? You understand?
Spanish?
No. You see? Then the brain now starts to pick up. If it is French or if it is Spanish, very good to see that what could affect and what possibly may generate a false effect of what knows. Until you have a relationship with the sonics, it has no effect. But if you have a relationship, it is because you have made the identification what those things appear to represent to you. Then you will put it in a pluralistic way of being right or wrong or good or bad to your mechanism, not to your body. So this is one way you realize why it doesn't matter what your neighbor say, a lot of don't call you little sucker. If you call you any kind of name, they don't matter. Point is, what I'm trying to get at it, they have to say something in the vibratory rate that you are familiar with, that you lock into and relate to have a feedback. You see? Then it will weaken you or not. But until then, it doesn't have any effect. If you feed it with the doubt that it has an effect, it will keep on doing that. It's because you're starting to deny within you the reality that you're a winner. And if you don't feed that, then it doesn't have effect on you. I'll give you an example of the thought pattern of that. Several years ago, a trade minister went from this country to Japan to get the Japanese to lower their expectation. keep it within a certain quota. As a rule, when an ambassador of the United States arrives, or any government official arrives in Japan, the presiding official, to show the respect and the quality appreciation, will immediately have the person in charge of the liaison officer to greet the oncoming visitor and have a cup of tea to break the pressure of the communication. When this ambassador arrived, no such thing happened. He was out in the office waiting and was told the other ambassadors in conference right now. And there he waited and waited. And he realized something was not typical of the communication between the two people. So he began to say in his own mind, the Christ in me becomes the Christ in you. And this became his mental thought process. The Christ in me becomes the Christ in you. A whole hour went by, and the Japanese ambassador did not show up. All was actually happening in the room. The Japanese ambassador was delaying the confrontation. At the end of the hour, they ushered in the American ambassador, and they sat down. And in a very cold manner, the Japanese ambassador is going through the puffle. And then we ordered tea, and we brought tea. Great. But in the meantime, the American ambassador is saying in the plane, all through the negotiation, Christ in me, love the Christ in me. Well, the conference was over, the documents were signed, and the reduction was agreed on. And the big goodbye. And he was getting ready to go and explain. So, then the American ambassador arrived at the airport and he's getting ready to enter the plane. Lo and behold, they heard a siren coming down the airport and the Japanese ambassador's car. They pulled away the airplane and they stopped. And out stepped up the liaison officer with a package. And the package was for the American ambassador from the Japanese ambassador to the open onboard plane. The American ambassador took the package out of the plane, and when the plane left the ground, he opened the package, and this was what was inside. Two cups in a little glass that the tea was served in, and another card next to it. And on the card, it says, the Christ did me like the Christ did you too. But there is where thoughts interface on each other. We have access to this particular process of locking out negative and turning it into positive. So whenever you hear feel someone is interfacing on you, you feel drained. Always remember, the Christ principle is the winning principle in you. And that's why he says, turn the cheek. It's a literal psychophysiological mechanism that you must do to bring about this transmutation in your body. When you do that, you start to see the reaction occurring. But you have to have the challenge in order to find out if you can stick around. We would love to have a pain-free environment, but you know, a pain-free environment is not a healthy environment. Really the opposite with the person. So, anytime you run into that situation, you can regenerate it. That's why the Eastern yogis teach you yoga, mantra, or prayer unceasingly. Every type of way to, or actual words of program to inhibit the defects. Now, getting deeper into the structure of being, God breathed breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. Breath of life enters you as the air, and within that air there are many gases. There is only one gas that has the unique capacity to produce the phenomena called consciousness by the ability to make this organism dilate and constrict. Every other gas is a kid. And the only gas that can produce this phenomena to dilate, constrict, and make it feel it's alive through the dilation of the circuit is oxygen. Now, you breathe in oxygen, right? And therefore you feel you breathe out carbon dioxide. Good. While the oxygen is inside of you, everything that you would think of would be in this, exposed to the oxygen. And no matter how much you think, and how much you think you can keep what you think inside of you, when you breathe out, you don't realize the effect of the carbon dioxide. For a brief moment, there's a loss of storage and security to the very things you're thinking and their geometry. And they go out through your nostril as carbon dioxide. Now, I have to breathe. I'm next to you. I breathe in oxygen. Is it truly oxygen or your carbon dioxide? Is it your loss of eyelids that you kept so close inside of your brain that now become my eyelids and I call it mine? Even if you're in two different rooms, you don't even see each other. And I got a wonderful inspiration. Is it really my inspiration? Or was it your exploration? Do you see why we are so vulnerable? That the other person's thought is not really theirs. Neither your own wonderful discovery of your inspiration is not really yours. It flows in the field, constantly flushing and feeding the two forms. But how we synchronize with the geometry and the different rates of the brain, we will utilize it and it become part of our inspiration and part of our memory map. And yet there is no way we can put a lock and key to keep it out of the memory map. Because it will go back out in the exhalation and someone will pick it up and call it their inspiration. Now, the fear of being affected by negativeness will have to be set up by who? The person who is saying they're being affected by negative. So if you feel something negative is entering you, and you feel it's coming from someone else and you're trying to insulate yourself, it is because the brain hasn't indexed correctly the reality of this function, that the negative and the discordance is within your own self that we can do, and that the other person really isn't doing it. But because we are atomic in structure, and energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light squared, that's the formula of validating the atomic mass. And energy is what we are, life energy. Our mass is still quantum. And if this mass is moving at this velocity, 186,000 miles a second, squared, let us not take the square, let's not take 186,000 miles a second. That's a fantastic velocity. And we live on a little planet called Earth. and it's approximately a little over 8,000 miles in diameter. And let's divide this 8,000 miles in diameter into apparently 6,000 miles velocity. We may end up along where the tree came before as an answer. Picture for one moment your thought leaving your brain via your nostrils of carbon dioxide, bombarding this with Indra Devi in India 23 times a second, let alone it going backwards to you. How do they hear you, really? Avoid being bombarded? Or let alone shut out feedback of what we call positive and negative conditions of anybody. For this reason, individuality is not a safety factor to hide behind. The unified field, the oneness of the creative consciousness out of Christ's principle, is the only insulator you have. This insulating principle itself modifies the effect of a negative feedback upon the organism. That's how come the ambassador says, the Christ in you, love the Christ in you. And then you got the present back. Without even realizing that you got this card, it said, the Christ in me, love the Christ in you. You see? This unifying principle is what insulates us. The atomic physics shows us that we can't really shut out everyone. We can only enhance the fear of our own structure to hurt ourselves by feeling we are losers and in actuality we are winners. And the winningness is the Christ principle already. So yeah, if you have a grain of mustard seed, and you ever see the size of mustard seed, if you have the conviction that you're this much a winner, faith in me like the size of mustard seed, you see how the mountain moves? A mountain of thought patterns will move away with the conviction of the structure that you're a winner. And if you ever have to go to school to get any kind of a degree from any university, you know, losers don't get degrees. And degrees or diplomas never say you got an A or a B or a C or 100 or 99 or it may say you went through the process and you ended up with a degree. So everyone that comes out with a degree are winners, enhancing it all the time. The thought process inside of you is the same. And it's only the fear. And the biggest fear of going through an education to get a diploma is always I can't make the test. And yet every time a test is over, you're laughing, I made it, I made it, I made it. And then when the graduation date comes, the people who get the real praise is not you or the faculty, it's those people who've been pushing you to keep on going. And that's what you call educating mama. Or that, you see. The reality of thought and the ability to use its positiveness is not. Not to turn it down, but to form this thing. This is your structure. But if you keep enhancing the fact that you can't do it, then the weakness will turn it down. But if you realize what you put together already, you never turn down.
To explain the consciousness why we go through this particular experience.
there. What you call consciousness originates at the sperm level in the struggle between the other sperms to be a winner, to bond with the ovum. Now, since a loser cannot be born, and the winner is born, at that biological level, you and I have pulled every trick in the book, and it's classified as a pile of sins in your churchianistic terminology to be the winner. And therefore, whatever we seem to do after we're born is a biological feedback taking precedent from the genetic level on our psychological, mechanical nature. And therefore, when you think you have negative thoughts or positive thoughts and don't know where they really originate, if we want to blame others, that is only partly true. The full truth is that both of us carry within ourselves the memory bank of having pulled every trick in the book to fool the other sperms to go in the wrong direction so that you can make a deal with the game. You not only played king as winner, but you played CIA as saboteur. You not only was a communist in the testes, but you were a Democrat in the process of competition. And when you won the race and won the deal, that was non-profit society, only two of you were existing as a fetal form. But until the cord is cut, you're not a human being yet. You're still a form. Though you may biologically pump, the respiratory action sets you apart from all of this. And that moment on, you have to be a functioning organism, subjected to a playback of all these different subtle biological functions within. So, in whatever culture you find yourself, and whatever tradition you may futuristically get involved with, their thought patterns are only basic biological survival mechanics that come up to take priority over their behavior in order to hold their position to survive. So if they feel that you and I may feel somebody's threatening you, it is their own psychological and biological fear of their survival rising up within them and trying to be abrasive or abusive of them. In essence, everyone carries this memory process, and sometimes it can be so dominating that you don't seem to be able to control it. But once you sense within your organism some weakness and wonder where the weakness is coming from, you can phase down the result of the weakness and enhance the sense of strength from your own organism, because you have accomplished the fact as a winner. And in the process of becoming a winner, there are many times as an organism the sense of weakness, failure, occurred in the process. But the final summation, it did not occur as long as you were born. The final summation is that you did win. Equally true, the other individuals who may seem to be threatening or abrasive in your environment are generating the same subtle fears in their lifestyle. And it overrides each other. But as long as you realize where it's coming from and it's set up to create immunity between organisms, not destruction between organisms. That is why I say the Christ in you loves the Christ, or the Christ in you loves the Christ in you, or the Christ in you loves the technique. this reinforces and incidents all the time. That's why Jesus said, none come unto the Father but by me. All these are reinforcements of the biological levels against our own interplay. So, depressive moods, self-destructive moods, and we can read them up, see all kind of various ways to do it. Let us realize one thing. At the biological level, the sense of self-destructiveness is present there. The fact that it doesn't take a geometrical shape is because it's not exposed to a combination of this bonding of the sperm and ovum to live a certain lifestyle in a traditional geometry of the environment. Until that occurs, then we have a geometry to pass through the brain to relate to the feeling. But nevertheless, the feeling is valid of a destructive nature within us from journey to the bonding effect. And if you ever saw the picture Mission Impossible, when this tape is finished, it will self-destruct. Don't feel for one moment that self-destruct in you is not valid. It is a valid condition placed there as a challenge to the willingness of the self to achieve the accomplishment over that state. And since you didn't self-destruct, that means you didn't lose, you won. That is ingrained and is turned on within you as the continuity of immunity and the continuation of the genetics of you. So the good qualities of parental donating or giving as triumph in you. Their Christ qualities triumph in you as they will. Now, you're going to run into a lot of other people who come from different traditional heritages who will have depressive feelings and fears and frustrations and self-dominance all going on there too. And you may feel that they are doing something on a underhand subtle way. They may or may not be doing. The question is, the feeling is a universal biofeedback process to challenge you to keep activating and reminding you of your Christ nature and not to sell yourselves short for having achieved it.
The group of people that we were talking about that were involved in a negative situation, and this situation is going on, when we finally realized what was happening, we all spent more than a week just sending love. We sent love in every shape, size, and color, and for hours at the time, in that whole direction. I guess we did it for several weeks. We just sent love after we had wakened up to what was going on.
Remember, be a group or an individual thinking of negative behavior to another individual is only his own biological feedback of the fears ingrained in his traditional genetics to be a winner and have to pull every trick in the book against other sperms in his own matrix to be a winner. But he may not realize that, and he comes out programmed within certain structural forms of thinking that the only way he can get even is to act a certain way. That's why Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Their biological structure is set with a self-destruct process. That's why the only three trials that the human mechanism is subjected to all the time: food, self-destruction, and possession. There is no other trial here for you and I. Once you override them, you know that you're a winner, and you will make it. But if you don't know you're a winner, you'll succumb to the food, you'll succumb to the self-destruction, and you'll succumb to the possession. Now, we all know rich man, poor man, and the sound sleep don't own a dog, aren't they? And if they don't wake up, they still don't own anything. And both rich man and poor man can be self-destructive from the very fact it was locked into the cells before they became willing to be born. So if they act self-destructive and try to generate it on others, it is that part of their nature that is triggering them to release. But again, in terms of the food, they will often hurt others to be greedy for what we survive. But when we realize we are winners, and everyone that is in this physical form is a winner, then we don't resort to the biological existence to survive. We set up the psychological regimentation to survive, a self-respect for each other, a cellular evaluation of each other, a higher integrity quality locked in each of us, the greater potential of creativity to be released out from us. This has to be fostered so that the apparent negative qualities that were present in the biological race is no longer necessary to fall back on, to dominate with behavior. But we don't know that until we wake up to our structure. That's why all the teachers are telling us, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Forget the kingdom of heaven out in the sky. The real kingdom of heaven in an actual practical day-to-day encounter is knowing how you put together structurally at a spermal range and bring it into the biological, psychological behavior of a moment-to-moment existence here in your environment. This is heaven on earth.
Didn't Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is within you?
Good. Then, right
there.
That's what exactly. Because you will understand now that you're born a winner and you are the Christ principle in action. Therefore, your own true nature will release creative ideas to provide all the reward you want from the environment and the satisfaction of the environment. But you have to go there to get this quality of consciousness, to know how it's put together. And so, not to be afraid, and no matter what we feel others are thinking they're doing, it's because they are carrying that in their head. But when we generate love, the mere idea that you said you're generating love against a negative self-destruct, this is exactly what you did biologically to decide to be the winner or decided to be a loser. You have to love what? A sense of life over a sense of death. The love of life has to predominate at that biological level to win. And so when it comes out now, that same sense of life, that same love of life has to be enhanced. So man Jesus again pointed back by saying, love the Lord thy God with all of the mind. It didn't say half the mind. And God being omnipresent, there's not a single place he can be. So he's got to be in hell too. Think of that one. If he's omnipresent, he's got to be in hell too, right? Hell can't be there. So what our labels are very, very erroneous at times to what actually is going on. And to love creative intelligence with all of your mind, there's not a part of your mind that is going to be commanded to be withdrawn. It has to be all. So all is omnipresent already. And since you're born a winner, it's all Christ consciousness here. Now. And with all of your heart. So just to remind yourself how you put together again. With all of your strength, that's your breathing. You get your strength from breathing. If you don't breathe, you got no strength, you got no life. And with all of your soul, that is the total consciousness of your integrity as a being. So, and love one another as yourself. You didn't say like yourself. There's a vast difference between like yourself or as yourself. And as you generated love for those who may think they're generating negativeness to hurt or take advantage of, which originates from their own biological fears to become winners, That's all they're generating at the afterbirth state. See, something that is locked in at the biological state is now emerging at the afterbirth state, and we're taking about the, I'm calling it criminal activities and all kinds of abuse activities. They're all from that level to be confronted and be resolved. Those who recognize their willingness and their totalness, generating this love, begins to phase it up. And many, many tests are being made today and all around the world. People are carrying on long hours of group meditation to phase down the violence, the biological structure. Since we're all biologically originated to become winners in the biological community and tend to act out psychologically some of the biological fears, we who have the attitude of love and generated from the heart now is doing more at a subtle level along with those who are in control to enforce certain regulations. We are making the transmutation on the environment. As I said, at the speed of light, if you're bombarding a person 23 times in a minute, you can imagine the concentrated love felt and generated. You can start bombarding. The result is that you phase down their feedback from their biological memory to their psychological behavior and their feelings of being put upon, pushed away.